Welcome in, everyone, to this Bastards Series Prediction Show. The Red Sox just wrapped up a three-game set with the Cleveland Guardians, dropping 2 out of 3. They now head back to Boston to take on the second-place Chicago Cubs. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Jeremy Schilling and Terry Cushman. Guys, let's get started with this series. Game number one, Friday night, 7:10 start. Cutter Crawford going up against Shota Imanaga. Jeremy, who do you like in game one?
So, I love this matchup. Imanaga is 3-0, 0.84 ERA, whip 0.75, 21 strikeouts in 21 innings. Crawford, as we all know, 1-0, 0.66 ERA, 0.99 whip in 27 innings. The Sox don't win games like this. They don't. This is going to come down to defense. Low-scoring game if both guys are on, which for a whole month, these guys both have been absolutely lights out, top of the league. Sox don't win games like this. They're not built for it. They're going to make key defensive blunders in the most important points in the game. They won't hit. I don't see a path, and it's a shame because Cutter's been so good. He's only 1-0. How good has he been? He's 1-0. So, even if Cutter leaves the game with a lead, I just don't see it. So I think they lose tomorrow night, 4-2 with two key errors, something like that.
Terry, what do you got?
Well, I have to go with the Cubs in game one as well. Shota Imanaga has been a revelation, and all the rage was Yoshinobu Yamamoto all winter long. And when Imanaga signed with the Cubs, that was kind of like my moment of doom as far as the Red Sox season goes, because he only signed for, I think the general expectation was he was going to get around $100 million. That's what most of us kind of estimated. He's only getting $14 million a year for 3 years guaranteed, and then there's two funky options tied on there. And I'm like, man, we weren't competitive for that. And then he's been better than Yamamoto. He probably doesn't have the punch outs that Yamamoto does, but over the last three games, which spans a little over 15 innings, Imanaga's only given up 2 runs. So I just, you look at that and the fact he's going to have better defense behind him than the Red Sox will. And the Cubs are hot right now. They just came off a 3-game sweep of the Astros, who are having a terrible season, 11 games under 500. That might be too much, even though it's April. I don't know. But still, the Cubs are hot, and the Red Sox suck at home. So I can go on and on, but I got the Cubs winning game one.
I've got the Cubs in game one too. This one's going to kill me because I really wanted Imanaga. I knew the Red Sox were, it was a long shot for them to sign Yamamoto given what he eventually ended up signing for. But man, Imanaga was there for you. Red Sox could have easily had this guy. And I know starting pitching has not been a problem for them. So it's, not a huge thing to complain about, but he's been dynamite. Cutter Crawford has been too. So this will be a fun pitching matchup. I think it's going to be more fun on Chicago's side. Imanaga is a lefty, so that might give Cora another excuse to put Yoshida on the bench for a third day in a row. Dahlbeck will probably go 0-for-4, 4Ks, something like that. I think Imanaga is going to shove against this lineup. And yeah, the Cubs are red hot. The only benefit the Red Sox have is that Cody Bellinger's on the IL. So you don't have to worry about pitching to him, but the rest of that lineup can hit. It's not just Bellinger. So I think Crawford will pitch well, but I just think Imanaga is going to be that much better. So I will also take the Cubs in game one. Game two, Saturday, 4:10 in the afternoon. The Red Sox are going with Josh Winkowski. We do not have a listed starter for the Cubs. That was probably going to be Kyle Hendricks' spot. He just went on the IL. So my guess is that they'll be doing some sort of opener bullpen situation, but we do know it's Josh Winkowski for the Red Sox. So Jeremy, who do you got in game two?
This is a game the Red Sox should win. Going to be a bullpen game. You're at home, but they won't win it. They won't win it. Winkowski, 1-1, 4.2 ERA, high 1.8 whip, constantly with people on base, every innings high leverage in 15 innings. He's not stretched out. I know he threw 65 pitches in relief in a game. He got absolutely crushed. I don't know how many pitches he threw last outing. I'd be surprised if he figures it out. The Cubs, I think, are 16-9. Much more consistent lineup. To go 16-9, you're, and I'm not going to pretend to and tell you I've watched a bunch of Cubs games because I haven't. But 16-9 teams, against Winkowski, I think they find a way to win the game. I just don't think we're going to see Winkowski being the starter in games we win. So, not the best analysis, but on gut, I'm going to go Cubs.
Terry.
So the interesting thing about this is, I don't know if you want to call this a bullpen game with Winkowski because he's ramped up. He can probably go 70 to 80 pitches if they want him to. But it'll be a bullpen game for the Cubs. And what's interesting is it's going to be Alex Cora versus Craig Counsell. Counsell was brilliant with the Brewers, manipulating that pitching staff. Like that guy, the Brewers have never really had a ton of offense. It's mostly been pitching. And they got within one game of playing us in the World Series in 2018. A lot of people don't remember that, but the Dodgers ended up winning game 7 in Milwaukee, I think. And we faced off against them, but there's a reason Craig Counsell is the highest paid manager. He got a record deal over this winter, $40 million over 5 years. So that's, I believe, $8 million per. Alex Cora will be hoping to compete with that this winter, and we'll be discussing that, some landing spots for him on the Saturday morning show. But I just think Counsell is gonna maneuver his way through the game better than Cora will. And I just...
Partly because he has a better roster.
He does. He does, but this type of game is well within his wheelhouse. He's had to manage games like this most of his career, and and they're hot. So I'm gonna take the Cubs, even though I have no idea who's gonna be on the mound in the first inning.
Yeah, I agree. This is a game the Red Sox should win because I don't know what the Cubs are really tossing out there. It's, you know, a lot of their pitching staff, they've got some good guys in there, but a lot of their bullpen arms and a lot of their depth arms are not that good. The trust meter for me with Winkowski is pretty low. And I know his last outing wasn't terrible, but his whip is super high. He hasn't quite been the same guy this year yet that he was last year. Been knocked around a lot. I just feel like the Cubs are going to jump on him early. You know, I could see them getting an early lead by the second, third inning. And I think by then Cora is going to panic, maybe take him out either too early or just, take him out at the wrong time. And he's just not going to manage the game properly. And the Cubs will just kind of run away with it. So this feels to me like one where, yeah, they jump out to an early lead and then, someone from the bullpen just doesn't get it done, doesn't do their job. And they just compound on the lead and it just gets away from the Red Sox. So it's probably going to be a high scoring game, but I just like the Cubs in that situation. I just think their roster's better and I think they're more equipped to deal with a bullpen game like that. So I will take the Cubs in game 2 as well. So with that, we'll get to the series finale, Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Tanner Houck for the Red Sox going up against Jordan Wicks for the Cubs. Jeremy, what do you like in the finale?
If you're not taking the Red Sox, you got a problem. Houck's been outstanding. He wasn't really good in his last outing, but by his standards of this year, because six innings, two earned runs, like, you know, you repeat that, you're an all-star and you're going to make a ton of money. He's 3-2, 1.65 ERA, 0.98 whip, 32 2/3 innings. His stuff just, it's like a wiffle ball. His stuff's just really, really good. And if he can get in the strike zone consistently with elite stuff, then I don't care who the lineup is. On the other side, Jordan Wicks, 1.2, 4.7 ERA, 1.52 whip in 23 innings. Got to go Red Sox.
Terry, what do you like?
I'm also going to take the Red Sox. I'm going to stop short of saying it's an automatic win, though. I mean, Wicks has pitched pretty well in his last two outings, both against very robust offenses. And I know Houston's in last place right now, but it's mostly due to their pitching staff. But the Diamondbacks can hit, the Astros can hit, and he's only given up a couple earned runs in both of those starts, only one walk. So I look back to this Indians series, Guardians series, and both times I thought we were going to destroy Ben Lively. And to my surprise, Lively actually was better the second time. Houck wasn't better, not bad, but wasn't better the second time. So, you know, I just kind of look at Wicks as a guy, if he can just compose himself for four or five innings, this could go the wrong way. But at face value, I'm going to give it to Tanner Houck.
I'd like to change my comment, Terry. If the Red Sox can't win this game, they're boned. Because you got to win the Houck Crawford starts, and we already talked about Friday night's game and how difficult that's going to be with the way that guy's pitching. If you can't win this game, you're in trouble and you're looking at a slide. Especially if we're right and they lose the first two. I mean, you just have to win this game. Houck's the guy. He's been outstanding. Elite stuff, except for that one start. He's your best pitcher. Cutter's been a little bit better because he hasn't had a bad start, but ugh.
I'm going to make a bold prediction for this game. Wow. So first of all, I'm taking the Red Sox. Taking the Red Sox, and I'm taking Tanner Houck. But I'm predicting Bobby Dalbec's going to run into one Sunday night, and he's going to hit one over the monster. Because when you look at Jordan Wicks, the whip is a little high. It's 1.52. He doesn't walk guys, though. Only 9 walks and 5 starts, which means guys make a lot of contact off of him. He leaves the ball over the plate a lot. So, and Sunday, it's going to be pretty warm here in Boston. It's going to be one of the warmer days we've had. So it's going to heat up. Air's going to be a little bit humid. This guy tends to leave pitches over the plate. I think Dalbec's going to finally run into one Sunday night.
We're getting desperate. That's what I hope you're right, Jason. I hope you're right. And I do feel bad for the player, and I like the player. And through his struggles, he's been a professional, and it's hard to, I'm not going to root against guys like that. I don't root against guys anyways, but generally speaking, I root for this player. I hope you're right. I really do.
Yep. And yeah, it is desperate, but it's,
and by the way, if Dalbec hits a home run in a game Houck is starting, I double down on my comment that you have to win that game.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just think it's the most winnable game of the series for them. I really do, on Sunday night. So Tanner Houck's just been ridiculous this year. He's absolutely taken that next step.
His stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't make a wiffle ball do what he does with the baseball. And today's game, where the baseballs are seamless and, you know, issues, you know, but I mean, his stuff is, it's fun to watch, man.
Yeah. Tanner Houck is must-watch baseball at this point. So, yeah, if they don't win this game on Sunday, I don't know what they're going to do.
One thing, though, I hope the Guardians, I swear to God I'm not doing it on purpose, but the Guardians went 15 straight innings of not putting up a run against Houck. I'm not exaggerating. 9 plus 6, that's 15 innings. And then, and only then, did it occur to them, you know, we shouldn't be swinging at the first pitch necessarily. We shouldn't be overly aggressive. And when they kind of sat back, got a little bit more patient, they worked the count a lot better. And that's when things went sideways for Houck. And this whole Andrew Bailey thing, if you're going to be a slider, changeup heavy team, you have to be commanding. Like, your command has to be good, or you're going to be at 80 or 90 pitches by the end of the fourth inning. So we don't know if that type of blueprint is being laid out, but I'm still skeptical long-term about how this all shakes out with him.
So the thing with Houck is his stuff is so good. On the nights where it's like the ball's just moving all over the place, it's harder for him to throw strikes. And when he's pounding the strike zone and his stuff is good, I mean, he's outstanding. But we're going to see a start per month where his stuff's really, really good and he's just missing, you know, and it's, he's aiming at the same spot, but it's running another inch or two and it's now a ball. So we'll see. If he's in the strike zone consistently in that first trip through the lineup, you expect him to go six and get people out. So we'll see. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm glad it's on ESPN's. Celtics and Bruins play Saturday night, so they'll be the only show in town and be interesting. I hope no one shows up. I don't think the Red Sox get ESPN money, so I'm going to watch on ESPN. But I hope no one shows up, and I hope that ownership is completely embarrassed when the rest of the country watches them have like 1,000 people in the stadium, like we're the goddamn devil race. But anyways, that's a different topic.
Yeah, amen to that. Should be a fun weekend nonetheless. So with that, we will wrap up this prediction show. Enjoy the Cubs series this weekend. Enjoy the playoff games this weekend. And keep an eye out for a special episode coming from us about the manager. We're going to do a deep dive on Alex Cora and his future, all that stuff. So keep an eye out for that as well. Everyone have a good weekend. Take care.